walk in the Spirit. You know, do your part and let God do His part. You can never do God's part. You can't. The best you can do is your part. So get busy doing your part, and then God will do what you can't do. Hallelujah. In response to your obedience. Hallelujah. In response to your obedience. God will never tell you to do more than He will do. Hallelujah. Whatever God is telling you to do is always less than what He will do for you. Hallelujah. Your little act of obedience opens up the door to great acts of the supernatural. Hallelujah. When you don't take that step of obedience, you deny yourself the opportunity of seeing God at work. Hallelujah. The Bible says, able to do exceedingly abundantly. I don't know if God can use better adjectives than that. Exceedingly abundantly. Above all that you ask or even think. Hallelujah. And today we'll show you an example of that. Let's open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just picking it from there. Hebrews 11. We are going somewhere. Today we are talking about the overcomer's reward, and particularly we are looking at the eternal city, or the eternal paradise, or the eternal destination of the true believer. You see, it's not everybody that's an overcomer. Amen? It's not everybody. And God does not predetermine the overcomer. It's your choice. Hallelujah. You see, the whole of worship is packaged in choice. Hallelujah. The way I see it is that God made everything. Then God took Adam out of himself and set him free. You have free will. Now I ask you to worship me. Not for no reason. I have given you all my goodness. Day one. And God saw that it was good. Day two, and God saw that it was good. Day three, good. Day four, day five, day six, hallelujah. God gives you His goodness, but sets you free. Hallelujah. The response of love is that you worship. Hallelujah. The response of love is that you yield to Him. And follow Him. You don't have any reason else because He has shown you all His goodness. One day, what God opened my eyes. Whatever is good in this life that you enjoy, yeah, is not your idea. God put it in place. Whatever makes you happy. Huh? Bible says every good and every perfect gift is from above, not from beneath. If the devil is offering you something good, it's a corrupted version. Hallelujah. Ever has no original. He's a thief who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But it's God. It's God that has the original idea of goodness. There is no true goodness without God. In fact, the very word good comes from God. Hallelujah. He is good. Hallelujah. He is what? He is good. There's nothing good you need for your life that is not within God's plan. Hallelujah. So don't drift away and allow the devil offer you a counterfeit. Because all the devil will offer you is what? A counterfeit. It will look good until you are right in. And you say, oh, I wish I knew. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. Where I'm looking for, talking about Abraham, he said he looked for a city. Can you find it? Somewhere in the middle. Hebrews 11. Verse 10. Sorry, you know my pattern. Where's my? Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 10. Thank you. Remember, that's the Bible version.
New Living.
Yes.
Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just go there and please wait. I want to see what he said before. Yes. Oh, my glory to God. Look at. Oh, God. Verse 8. Hebrews 11 from verse 8 to 10. Read it.
It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith.
How did he live there?
By faith.
How did he go there?
By faith.
Continue.
For he was a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God.
Amen. Please sit down. You know, when you read that, when I read that, let me see now. Time to calculate. Maybe 34, 33 years ago. I got born again at 9 years old. Almost 10. I was in boarding school. And when you read that, sometimes you miss something. The more I read the Bible, the more I understand that. Better start taking everything God is saying seriously. He said that there is a city that is designed and built by God. There is. And that's what we're going to show you today. God himself designed a city and built it. The story of Abraham is the story of our life. We are foreigners and strangers in this world. This world is not our home. Hallelujah. It's not your home. Don't forget it. No matter what you do, don't forget it. Hallelujah. One of the things I've learned living in this country is that people who live in this country, they like to enjoy their life. You know, like, they like to have fun with their money. If they work hard, they must enjoy it. You make sense? But this world is not your home. Say to yourself, say, this world is not my home. Sometimes it feels as if you don't enjoy everything, you can enjoy. You know, like, in this country, yeah, people are dying. Then they arrange a special deal for them. Whatever they wished. You know what I'm talking about, yeah? You know, I forgot what they call it. You know, like, it's always terminally ill. Somebody's going to help me. There's a name. Yeah. And they go and give them all the enjoyment they can enjoy according to their wishes before they die. That's not the end. That's not the end. Amen? If they are not in Christ, you just enjoy it for nothing. Hallelujah. The real enjoyment is coming after. I'll show you. You know, this old school message, you don't get it preached nowadays. All you hear is faith and prosperity. But we also need to show you that the package coming, I'm talking about a city designed and built by God. Imagine. That means it must be better than the skyscraper in Dubai. I've never been there. But you know, who has been there? Anybody been there? You've seen the skyscraper in Dubai? Listen, if God is going to build a city, it's going to be better than Dubai. Otherwise, it's not God that built it. Hallelujah? It's going to be better than New York. Well, I don't know where the tallest building in America is. Can you help me? Hallelujah? This is a city designed and built by God. It's going to, it must blow your mind. If it doesn't blow your mind, it's not God that designed it. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Say, I'm an ambassador, a representative of the kingdom. And someone comes to you and say, ah, where do you come from? I'm a citizen. Citizen of where?
Of heaven.
That's my identity. First and foremost. My identity is not first and foremost a British or a Nigerian or an accountant or a musician. These are secondary identities. Already? My first identity is what? I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I won't say this other one, but the meaning is that I'm a foreigner in this world. Praise the Lord. Bible says that Abraham, by faith, he left where he was to where God was taking him. But sometimes you want to stay where you are. You can stay there and miss God for the rest of your life. You can be quoting Bible. I know the Bible. But you have missed God because when God was moving, you refused to follow. Do you get? Abraham was living near Babylon. God said, move. He moved. His father moved with him. His father, Abraham's father, moved with him. And when he got halfway, the place is called Iran. Abraham's father said, we have tried. Me, I'm going to settle here. So Abraham too, he stayed. But that time, he missed God. God could not do anything because Abraham is staying with his father. But when Abraham's father died, then God spoke to Abraham again. We don't hear God speaking to Abraham until his father died because he was staying with his father in Iran. They had fixed their own destination. You know, God started the journey, but you get halfway and you fix your destination. He said, I'm okay here. He said, but you can grow. He said, I don't want too much stress. I already left where I was coming from. I'm okay here. So God did not speak to Abraham again. But when Aaron died, check your Bible. Then God spoke to Abraham and told him to continue to the journey. Hallelujah. Until he got to Canaan. But then even when he got there, he realized that that's not the final destination. The Bible says that by faith, he lived there. Hallelujah. In fact, there's no final destination in this life. He was like, I'm just working that so that when I retire, I'll be comfortable. I'll buy a home by the seaside. I'll be surfing every day. Hallelujah. Retirement is not your destination. Your God is too big for that. All the days of your life, he has a plan for you. And it's a good plan. Hallelujah. It's what? A good plan. Open your Bible to John 14. I'm just developing the message. But I hope to land it safe. John 14. So Abraham, he looked for a city with eternal foundations whose builder and maker is God. Now, I want you to understand that God didn't just make this city, he built it. He built it. I want you to just imagine God building a city. See, I have been watching all these men. They've been displaying their technological expertise. You know, all the wonders, the seven wonders, the seven wonders of the world. God is just smiling. wait till I show you what I designed. Hallelujah. There's a city whose builder and maker is God. And that city is for the overcomer. Overcoming is an act of choice. It's an act of choice. You choose to overcome. Hallelujah. You choose to what? Open your Bible to, before you go to John, let me emphasize that. Revelation 21:7. Let's have it read. Revelation 20, let me go to the other side. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Revelation 21, verse 7. Yes, we would like to read it. Revelation 21, yes. Revelation 21, I'll come to you later. Revelation 21:7.
He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
He who what?
Overcomes.
Who determines that? God. You or God? You. It's like God giving you an offer. It's up to you. Look at the way God is. After God created everything good, everything was already good, yeah? Then he now made a special home for Adam. Bible says, and the Lord God planted a garden. Yeah? In Eden. And he put the man there. Yeah? Is that still good? But now he must choose to overcome or not. He must what? Overcoming is a matter of choice. That's why you have to live your life what? Intentionally. He must choose. I've shown you all my goodness. I've shown you my glory. But now, you will have to choose whether you overcome or not. And I ask a question. I've been preaching and teaching. Let me change my mood. What does it mean to overcome? Yes? Yes, that's good, that's good. Have a discussion. I like what you did. What does it mean to overcome? We're talking about this spiritual language, but you can decode spiritual things with physical things. Every spiritual principle can be decoded with a physical principle. You know why? Let me explain why. Do you know why? God cannot reach you without using something you can connect with. There is no thing spiritual you can understand until you connect it with something you already understood before. Teaching, that's the principle of teaching. To teach, you take something someone understands and link it to what they don't understand. So every spiritual principle can be explained by a physical principle. Yes, what does it mean to overcome?
To have victory.
To have what?
Victory.
Over what? But I will not take that to you, but that's excellent definition. It's as simple as it gets, isn't it? To overcome means what? To have victory. Now, let's take it advanced. Over what? What do you need to have over victory over as a believer? You know, as a believer, I said it last week in church. I said, you have three enemies. No. I mean, I don't know whether you have many enemies. Yeah. But I mean, you have three standard categories, standard enemies. This one, whether you like it or not, they're there. You can add to them, yeah. But you have three minimum enemies. Yes.
Yeah, permit me to refer back to Genesis, where God, when he made the heaven and earth, and made man, and said that he's given him dominion over everything. So all creatures, all circumstances and situations.
Yes, I agree. So what do you need to overcome? Since you have dominion.
Yeah, overcome sin. Overcome.
Overcome sin. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. I like that one. Even if you are the Bishop of Rome, you still need to overcome what? No man is immutable. No man. Even Jesus, Bible says, he was in all points tempted as we are. I know sometimes you don't believe it. I know from experience that you don't believe it. Sometimes you think that what you are going through, Jesus is not good. Jesus was the Son of God. He did good. In everything you are tempted, Jesus faced a similar type of temptation. Otherwise, the Bible is lying. In all points, he was what? Tempted as we are, but yet without sin. So you need to overcome sin. I agree. Any other one? What do you need to overcome as a believer? Come on. Sickness and disease, yes. Where does sickness come from and disease? Yeah? Who is the father of? You know, there is no sickness in heaven. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why I want to teach you this one. If you don't understand it, don't worry. Put it in the cooler. You understand it one day. That's why you don't need to pray that God should take away your sickness, because he didn't give you. You see, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from where? Okay, let's reverse it now. Every evil and imperfect gift, where does it come from? Below. He said, from the Father of lights, which is the good one. What of the evil and imperfect one, where does it come from? From the Father of darkness. Amen.
to say, oh, what do I need to do? When sickness and issue, rebuke it. He said, I've given you authority, Luke 10, to trample on snakes and scorpions and to tread over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Rebuke it. You know what? Tell me, what do you need to rebuke? What do you need to rebuke? Do you want to rebuke sickness? What are the equipment you need in your own life to rebuke it? If you want to rebuke sickness, it shows up. What do you need? What is the simple equipment you have that you can use to rebuke? Your tongue. Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life. Where are they? In the power of the tongue. If you're not going to use it, no problem. You choose not to overcome. It's your choice. Hallelujah. Overcoming is a choice. Amen. You rebuke it. And say, you sickness and disease, you are not welcome in my body. It will reply you. He said, why? He said, because my body is what? The temple of the what? Do you think God likes sickness in his temple? So you now say, sickness, I rebuke you and I command you to leave my body. He said, oh, well, what if he doesn't leave? Keep rebuking in faith. The Bible says he lived in the promised land by what? By faith. Hallelujah. He said, do you mean I shouldn't use medicine? Use medicine. Every medicine, where does it come from? It's not from the earth and the ground. Who put it there? Use medicine, but use your faith. Medicine is not a universal currency. There are things that medicine will not deliver for you. But faith is your universal currency. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. See, I've digressed. Let me come back. You need to overcome sin. You need to overcome the world. You need to overcome the devil. Yeah? If I say, he who overcomes in this life, what will happen to them? They will inherit what? Oh, I mean, like, it's like you're not reading it. All. It's, I want to be very rich. The Holy Spirit asks, he says, why? Why do you want to be very rich? Anybody help me? Samantha. You'll be rich. I said you'll be rich. No. That's not right. Don't respond with your head. He said, death and life where? And the power of the tongue. I said, you will be rich. Hallelujah. But why do you want to be rich? Do you have an idea? Glory. Why? Anybody help me? What? For the glory of God. Open your Bible to Romans 11, last verse. Romans 11. It's good to see this offering bucket again. You know, I try not to be too emotional. I cannot categorize myself. Everybody's emotional. You know that some show it and some don't. Sayemi, do you agree? Everybody's emotional. Because your emotion is an essential part of your makeup. And you will carry it into eternity. But some show it, some express it, and some don't. But when I came into this building after 18 months, I felt very emotional. I did. Hallelujah. Romans 11, last verse. I think it's 39. Is it 39? 20? 36. Thank you. Do you want to read it? Romans 11, 36.
For him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever.
Amen. Can you see? That's the whole purpose. If you want to be rich, you must first, before God, I've tried to teach this, but one thing about spirituality is that you have to repeat. God, has at his own interest too. It's not only, God is not the Father Christmas. It's not. Even the Father Christmas, you must pray. or somebody paid for you. God has a superior motive in everything you ask him. I know you have your own interest. He has his own interest. That's a key to understanding prayer, so that you can get your prayers answered. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Because that what you will is going to be based on the word. And it shall be given to you. Because now you've come to understand God's interest. When I understand God's interest, and my request is within the scope of God's interest, and my request will serve God's interest, I can be confident. I can be confident that he will grant it, because it will serve his interest. He said, Lord, I want a brand new car. You know, in life, some people like cars more than others. I don't know if you understand what I mean. And it's okay. It's okay. Some people, it's not cars they like. They like clothes. Some people, they don't like clothes. They like nice quality food. They may not eat much, but when they want it to land, it must be quality. Some people like their food in a particular way. Nothing else will satisfy. Do you get it? And it's okay, because we're not the same. That's why we don't have the same faces. There's room for individuality. Yeah, in fellowship. That car, how will it serve God's interest? Is our brother Sean? Sean is my son. He said, well, we need you to help us pick up, you know, all the things you're going to make. Me, I will go all the way with my new car. Can't you take a taxi? It's not serving God's interest. It's serving your selfish interest. What is your value? Amen? It's like, I have money. What is the value of your money? That is God's interest. Do you see? And God is a very good mathematician. He can predict you. He can predict what you will do next based on what you've done before. We do that in simulation. It's called simulation. You just take data, plot in all the statistics, and then run a simulation. I did that for many years at university. God can predict you. Say, God can predict me. But it does not predetermine my choice. If you see your choice, you can change. You can be an outlier. He knows what you're going to do based on what you've done. Except you repent, of course. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I choose to abide in Christ, and let the words of Christ abide in me. See, once you've done that, you can operate in the supernatural. Because why? There is nothing between you and God. You believe in him, and he believes in you. Trust is both ways. It's both. Hallelujah. You know, you reach a point whereby you're in partnership. You know, when you're in partnership with God, there are some things you won't ask God. He will just do for you because it serves his interest. Don't you get it? It serves his interest. So you're in partnership with God. Something rises against you or someone. In some situation, you don't even need to pray. He said, before they call, and we what? Our answer. Praise God. Okay, let me go back to message. Hebrews. No. Where did I take it? John chapter 14. Verse 1 to 3. John 14. 1 to 3. I hope you are enjoying physical church. John 14, 1 to 3. Let's have it read. Let me find my mic. So, okay, yes. Go for it. Tell us the version. John 41:3. After that, I'll take it to Revelation.
NLT.
Yes.
Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come home and get you, so that you always be with me where I am.
Amen. You know, sometimes I feel that even as Christians, born again, we don't take the Bible seriously. He said, there's a Father's house. The city designed and made by God. I said, in this Father's house, there's what?
There's no room.
Some versions say what? There are many mansions. And who wants to live in a mansion? Let me tell you one secret about mansions. They are not of equal size. Some mansions are bigger than others. The kingdom of God is not socialism or communism. Hallelujah.
He said, in my Father's house, there are what? Then, what did he say? He said, I am going to prepare a place for... Is he lying? What is Jesus doing? What is he doing now? He's preparing a place for you.
You know how we know he's still doing? Because he said, when he's ready...
The city has been built. Oh, it has been built already. That's not the problem. I will show you today. The city has been built. But the special place for you is being what?
Prepared. And there's enough room. Hallelujah.
He said, when I'm ready, I will come back and receive you unto myself. So that where I am, you may be also.
I take it to Revelation. So you see, the people that have died, believers in Christ, yeah? They are resting. And they are not yet in their mansion. Why? How do you know that they are not yet in their mansion? From John 14:3. Tell me. How do you know that a believer who is sleeping, because a believer never dies, amen? They're just sleeping. How do you know they are not yet in their mansions? Somebody help me. From verse 3. Oh no, before he said that, what did he say? Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Unto myself. When the place is ready, how do we know? How do we know it's ready?
You call.
Amen.
They are resting in God's heavenly temple. There's a temple in heaven. Read the book of Revelation. Revelation 11 tells you that the temple of God in heaven was opened. And remember that when God told Moses to build the tabernacle, he said, build it after the pattern that is heaven. The pattern shown you. The Jerusalem temple is a pattern of the heavenly temple. Particularly the sanctuary where you have the holy place and the most holy. That's exactly. You know where God's throne is? It's in the most holy place of the universe. In heaven. Hallelujah. Yeah? And the believers are resting in his temple. But the day is coming when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. And the morning does it turn up bright and fair. When the saints of God are gathered over on the side. And the roll is called up yonder. I'll be there. I don't know about you. I chose. When the roll is called up yonder. 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 I'll be there. Let me just clarify something so you don't get it confused. I couldn't choose God if God didn't choose me.
God always makes the first move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just said to that. Hallelujah. God was looking for you before you ever woke up. You were sleeping. God has been working on you a long time. You know, when you're in secondary school, God was working. Hallelujah. God was working. He knows you by name. He knows your DNA to the last detail. Hallelujah. He reached out to you. But all you did was to respond and to receive. Hallelujah. Say, all I do in my life as I walk with God is to respond and receive. So your obedience is part of your response. Your obedience always sets you up to receive something. Praise the Lord. So, there is a city built, designed and built by God. And Jesus calls it his Father's house. He now told you that when you enter that house, there are what?
There are many mansions. Many rooms. Enough space.
He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, did you notice? Did he say he's going to build? Did he say he's going to build? What's he going to do? What's the difference between prepare and build? Sister Pidgey, I saw your hand. Yeah, my time is, let me see how much I have 16 minutes.
So my question is that I know that in heaven, all a believer's rewards will be based on their works.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on how the level of work you've done for the kingdom. But if this, what we've just read says that, you know, there'll be mansions. So that is to say that regardless of your level of works on earth, you will get a mansion.
Yes, but I don't know whether you were here when I told you that mansions are different in size. Hallelujah. You know, like, if you buy your first car, and it's a brand new Peugeot, what's the name of that Peugeot? Tell me. The small one. You know what I'm talking about. Peugeot what? I'm going somewhere. You know where I'm going. It's brand new Peugeot 1.8. Anybody know Peugeot 1.8? Anybody in this church know Peugeot 1.8? Audrey, you don't know Peugeot 1.8. And then you look around the whole UK. Anybody using motorcycle? And only few people, maybe three people in business that are driving Peugeot 1.8. How do you feel? Yeah. Like I'm on top. Yeah. I got a Peugeot. Glory. But if you, while you were still rejoicing for your Peugeot, you went out, you drove it nicely and confidently, and every car you saw on the street was Discovery. I'm talking of UK level now. But that's not even what happened to you. They transported your car to America. You know, you've been seeing Discovery in UK. When you go to America, you see cars that your car, they can carry your car. Then, how do you feel? I will leave the answer there. So let's go back because of time. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Your level of contentment is always measured by your ambient experience as a human being, emotional human being. I didn't say spiritual, emotional. And you will still carry emotions in eternity. But you see, you will still be content with whatever you get. You see, you will know that that's exactly what you, in fact, you will know that you didn't deserve up to it. Amen. Because of time, let me move on because I want to show you this city. So we're looking at the city whose builder and maker is God. And we have to go to Revelation 21 from verse 9 to 21. Now, I know sometimes when you read it, you may not get it. I wrote a book already. Yeah, I know you may not have read it. So I'm going to break it down. That was what the Holy Spirit told me. I said, what's the message? He said, that is the message. Amen? Somebody read verse 9. Revelation 21, verse 9. So just a minute. Just a minute. There you go.
And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Amen. Verse 10.
And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from God.
So what's the first thing you notice about the holy city in verse 10? Come on, church, look at it. Follow the verses. Read it again. Verse 10. Read it. Just read it out.
Okay, sorry. And he carried me away in the spirit.
To where?
To a great and high mountain.
So what's the first thing you notice about the city that God built?
It's on a mountain.
It is a great and high mountain. Now, somebody tell me the contemporary name. You've been saying it. If you don't know it, look at Hebrews 12, 22. The name of this great and high mountain, you say it all the time. It's Mount Zion. It's what? It's Mount Zion. He said, you have come where? Open there. Hebrews 11, 22. Where have you come to? Hebrews 11, 22. This city that is built and made by God. Yeah? Read it. Hebrews 12, 22. What does it say? Someone who has not spoken today. Where is Audrey? Do you have it? Hebrews 12, 22. Sister Amanda. Hebrews 22. Read it.
No, you have come to Mount Zion.
You have come to where?
Mount Zion.
Now, just in case you didn't get it, continue.
The city of the living God.
What is Mount Zion?
It's the city of the living God.
Okay, just in case you are thinking it's the physical one. Read next one.
The heavenly Jerusalem.
The heavenly Jerusalem is a great and high mountain. And it is the Mount Zion. See, the one on earth that they call Mount Zion is just a shadow. The temple on Jerusalem is just what? A shadow. That's why it has been dismounted for 1,900 years. But God is still God. But the temple in heaven, no one can. The only person that can dismantle me is God. And he will. Because he read it, he said, and I saw no temple in it. There's a time. I want to notice that when God was going to build this city, yeah, it's a great and high mountain. Somebody here, look to your Bible and tell me the height of this mountain. It's in your Bible. The city that God built is what? A great and high mountain. What is the height? Come on. Check your Bible. It's there. Revelation 21. He measured it. 1,400 miles. If you check in King James, some verses say 1,500. I'll go 1,500. It was measured in old units. That's like 2,400 kilometers. Now, I know that you may not appreciate that. So someone tell me, anybody know the height of Mount Everest? Come on, youth. Come on, where's your geography? Where's Stephen? What's the height of Mount Everest? Okay, check Google. What's the height of Mount Everest? Someone help me. 8.8 kilometers. But Mount Zion is what? 2,400 kilometers. Okay, I know you don't appreciate it. What's the highest height that an airplane can fly to? 1,000 feet, about 12 kilometers. Okay, I know you don't get it. What about the height of the building, the skyscraper in Dubai? Is that not the tallest building in the world? As far as I know, that's supposed to be. You know, they built it purposely to take over New York. Do you know the height? 8 point what? Kilometers. The building. So the building was built to almost compete with Mount Everest. But when God came to town, what did he do? Now let me show you something you don't get. I'm showing you, this is Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Quick. Time is running out. I will rush it. You can read the rest in the book. Yeah? Revelation 21, verse 1. You've not read, so go for it.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away.
Hallelujah.
And there was no longer any sea.
Hallelujah. So if you buy a new house in an old neighborhood, that's in an abandoned place, huh? You want to build a new house. You didn't buy, you want to build it. You bought a property. It probably has been messed up, misused, whatever. But now you want to build a new house in that property. Of course, the property is big. The house is just going to be a part of it. What are you going to do first? What are you going to do? So you bought it, it's yours. But it's messed up, overgrown, all mess. Broken glass, overgrown, misused, cushions, everything. What are you going to do? Clarence! When God is coming home, because that city is coming down. Amen? You see, the eternal destination of the believer is on earth, because the man was made for this earth. Can you repeat that? Say, man was made to live on earth. Do you agree with that? It's in Genesis. So your eternal destination of the believer is on earth, but not the messed, broken world we are living in. Even with all the technology in this world, it's a broken world. Otherwise, technology shall solve all the problems and prevented COVID. You understand? So God is going to do what? What is he going to do? Gonna wipe it clean. Amen? Now you see Revelation 20. He wipes it clean. He wipes it clean. He wipes the heart clean. He wipes the heavens clean. Then it comes down with his building. Let me just explain this to you. When I was growing up, I thought that, you know, in eternity, you're just going to be in the New Jerusalem. No. If you are just going to be in the New Jerusalem, it doesn't need to make a new heaven and a new earth. The New Jerusalem is your home. The new earth is your garden. Did I make a good picture? Really? The home sits within the garden. Hallelujah. That garden is paradise. That home is what? Paradise. In that garden, you have animals, new animals. Like it was in the beginning, before sin came. Hallelujah. You have lakes and mountains. And you know, because you'll be resurrected, you can zoom. So I said, my church, I said, all the fun I'm not having in this world now. Don't think you're having more fun than me. When I land on the other side, you will see the true color. Then you know I can jump from a mountain, because I will jump and I will not be hurt. Hallelujah. I can zoom to Mars. But your zooming capability is according to your works. You can just zoom to Mount Everest, you know, 8 kilometers. You'll be happy. I'm not talking to you. You'll be happy and like, oh, well, thank God I can zoom to Mount Everest. Why are you zooming to Mount Everest? I'm zooming to Mars. I say, yeah, but I want to go to Mars. No capability. Because it will reward everybody according to what? According to what? It works. Praise God. So the reason why he clears it all out, because he's going to make all things new. That's your garden. It's also for you to enjoy. But what happens when you finish playing? You played all day. You've gone to Mars and back. You've gone to the depth of the lake. And you've gone to sit on the lion. And you've gone to... What happens when you finish playing? What happens next? What? What do you do? Anybody? You need to go home. The New Jerusalem is my home. Say, the New Jerusalem is my home. Okay, I just have a few times, so let me just rush this part. But that's fine. More important to me to speak to you what God wants to say. See that New Jerusalem? It's a tall and high mountain. Now I want to ask you a question. The temple of God on earth, where is it located? No, the physical temple. The physical temple. Where is it located? In Jerusalem. So the temple of God in heaven, where is it located? On the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where your father lives. That city is designed and made by God. It's Mount Zion. And he lives right on top of it. That Bible says God will dwell with his people. Hallelujah. So as I called that throne of God the head. And I called the New Jerusalem the what? The body of the redeemed. Hallelujah. Let me show you. That's the front view. Let me show you the top view. As it is today. All this information is in the Bible. Genesis, Revelation 21, combine it with Exodus, where it describes the temple of Moses. And then you can see it just comes up. So that's the top, because the Bible says the building is a square. It's a cube, actually. Length and breadth and height are the same. Hallelujah. There's enough space for more than trillions of people. In fact, actually, there's enough space. So tell this Bible. Now you know God told Abraham, he said, your descendant shall be as the sand of the sea. Mathematically speaking, has that happened? I know you. So now you read it, you just fly into metaphor. God said to Abraham, he said, your descendants will be what? As the sand of the sea. Anybody know how much sand is on the sea? Come on, help me. Go. How much sand? Okay, if you don't know, let me get another one. They are the same. You see, that's why I said God is smarter than you. He told everybody, he said, your son will be like the sun of the sea and as the stars of the sky. Check the data. You will see that they correlate. Check it on Google. How much sun is on the seashore? And how many stars are in the sky? 10 raised to the power what? I just want to show you that God is mathematically accurate. How much signs of the seashore? Come on, someone help me. It must be there. 10 raised to the power. Okay, that's homework because of time. Check it out. I say, but how can that happen? What's the world population? 8 billion. The sand on the seashore is like 10 raised to the power 9. I leave that as homework. I leave it because of time. So you see, what I just want to show you here is, I think this battery is gone after 18 months. It didn't make it. So that is the sanctuary right on top of Mount Zion. You have the most holy place and you have the holy place, just like the physical temple. Any believer that has died, they are in that holy place. They are resting. They are before the throne. Amen? Yeah, before the throne, they are resting. But the day will come when they will be resurrected. Amen? Let me tell you the part I like, the form part I like there. Believers who endured to the end in faith, if they die, not every believer, but also he that endures to the end shall be saved. What I mean by that is that not every person that says a believer is a true believer. You ought to have realized that. The true believer, they know, they will say. Yeah? So when Jesus is coming back, the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive. You know, I like the part of we, because I'm part of them. Like, I'm not ashamed to tell you that I'm not planning to die. I'm planning to be raptured. And that should be your goal. Amen? I'm planning to be raptured. I believe that there's a select few who have the pleasure of experiencing it live. And I want to be part of that. Because it's a unique experience. Amen? And the Bible says that we shall be changed. Hallelujah. the mortal, this mortal with weakness, and we put on. That's what, you'll be a Superman. You know other Superman, they are fake. This one, you're a Superman, you don't need wings. You just zoom. You know, the example of Superman is Jesus. When he rose up, he just zoomed. He entered the building and went back. When he was going to heaven, slow motion, zoom. As a Superman. A resurrected man is a Superman. Amen? The Bible says at the resurrection, we neither marry nor begin marrying, but we'll be like what? Like angels! People consider on the marriage part, they don't think about the angel part. He said when we are resurrected, we will be like what? The angels. I'm rounding up. So, what was I going to show you? I'll leave this. I'll leave that. That's in the book. What I want to show you is the final thing. What you see in Revelation 21. Oh, I know why I see that. I'll go back. What you see in Revelation 21 is that. Because there will be no temple. So the holy place is removed. But the throne of God cannot be removed. You know why the holy place is removed? There's no need for the sacrifices there anymore. Huh? But that is the truth. Sitting on Mount Zion. Coming down to land on the earth. That is our eternal home. And then the new earth and the new heavens. When you say new heavens, don't think of heaven of heaven. Think of space. You see, I always say to myself, God, men build a skyscraper. God builds a heaven scraper. The man has not been born who can be the heaven scraper. Only God. Amen? And it will come down. Amen? I hope you have been blessed by that insight. Let me just say one more insight that conveys the people. This, I've not read it anywhere. It's there. He said the city has 12 foundations. Huh? So tell me, what's the value? You are building a city. You know, you use special stones, the best precious stones in the world. You are burying it under. Is that where you want precious stones? You want them under the ground. What God builds is not just a last city. It's a multi-foundation city. Have you ever seen that? New York, how many foundations? One floor. Isn't that one floor? All the mansions in New York, are they not built on one floor? Men, they built a multi-floor house. God built a multi-floor city. A multi-floor city. Hallelujah. Let me stop there. Read the rest in the book. Let's rise up. Let's rise up. Now, what I'm aiming to do for you today is to show you that God has a good plan. Hallelujah.